Reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Well, welcome, as Will said today, and thank you, Rose. What a beautiful reading of that scripture. It just sounded so beautiful when you read it. So I probably could just stop and just that we could just rest in that. But you know, Psalm 23 is probably one of the most well-known scriptures apart from John 3:16. It's probably one of those verses and passages that so many people know about. I mean, you always quote it in times of testing or illness, or particularly at funerals. It's one that's often used. And Ben is going to show for us a couple of images when we've maybe used it to give us courage in hard times. Over to you, Ben, if you could. No, sorry, the first pictures. Yeah, so before we go inside, repeat after me Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This mum wanted to use it to prevent her child from wanting too many things in the shops. Next one, Ben. This cat was praying it, ye though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And next one. This chicken boldly prayed it as it crossed to the path of Kentucky Fried Chicken, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That was a confident chicken. And the last one is one that all golfers will pray on a daily golfing round. May thy ball lie down in green pastures, not in still waters. All the golfers in the place say amen. And so obviously you can see that we use it quite a lot. Psalm 23 is a very popular text, and we maybe quote it in times of desperation in our golf games and other such things. But today we're looking at Jehovah Rohi, or Rohi, or Ra, it's kind of depending how you say it. The Lord is my shepherd. And so we're going to look at it this morning. And as we look at it, we see that the writer of this psalm was David. And he wrote this psalm from actually when he was an older guy, when he was actually a king. And he was facing the possible rebellion of Absalom in 2 Samuel. And he was writing and comparing God and his relationship to God of that as a sheep to a shepherd. And it's a great illustration that we see throughout the Bible. We see it first said in Genesis 49, where Moses called the Lord, the shepherd, the stone of Israel. We see it in Isaiah 40, verse 1, where he says, he tends his flocks like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in the arms and carries them close to his heart. And obviously, if you didn't know, but I'm sure many of you know that Jesus called himself the good shepherd. It says in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And 1 Peter 5 verse 4 says of Jesus that he was the chief shepherd. And so the idea of God being a shepherd, I think we can all grasp and be happy with. But I want you to just, in that, if that's the case, then surely we are sheep, if that illustration is true. And I want you to think about that, because David says, the Lord is my shepherd. So if the shepherd is mine, then I am his sheep. Not a very glamorous idea of being a sheep. I don't know if you know much about sheep, but they're not the sharpest tools in the shed, let's say. They are pretty foolish, and they have a tendency to go off and wander and fall off a cliff and do all sorts of craziness. They need constant care and attention. And you can't drive sheep like you drive cattle. They must be led. They can't be driven in that way. They're not exactly, I would say, probably the coolest animal to be compared to. I mean, if I was David, I would probably want to be compared to a lion or an eagle or something powerful and manly. But, you know, that's not what he went for. He went for a cuddly, waddly sheep. And I just have an image of a big man who wants to go get a tattoo. And instead of getting an eagle, he gets a big, fluffy sheep on his arm. Not exactly the coolest symbol that we can have. But that is exactly what David is saying, is that we are God's sheep. We are the shepherd's sheep. And I don't want you to leave the service now. That is not to depress you. It's just the reality. And Charles Spurgeon, I know that Pete has already mentioned Charles Spurgeon, but Charles Spurgeon said it so well when he said, before a man can truly say, the Lord is my shepherd, he must first feel himself to be a sheep by nature. For he cannot know that God is his shepherd unless he feels in himself that he has the nature of a sheep. He must relate to the sheep in its foolishness, its dependency, and in the warped nature of its will. Part of today is actually recognizing that God, you are a good shepherd, but also God, I know that I am a sheep, prone to wander. Lord, I leave you. But we must take great joy in this. Why? Because a good shepherd, as it says in the word, he knows every single sheep by name. He numbers them and he knows them. No matter if it's a flock of 10 or 10,000, God knows each and every one of them by name. A shepherd knows each and every one of them. It says in John 10, verse 3, the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You know, there are 7.8 billion people in the world today, and God knows every single one of them by name. He knows everything about them, and he knows and loves them each individually. I wonder today, do you have a personal relationship with Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus today? So let's look then maybe at Psalm 23 and begin to understand what the psalmist was talking about as he was writing this psalm. First of all, my first point is, my shepherd provides. If we can show that, my shepherd provides. Verse 1 and verse 2 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. The Lord, my shepherd, provides. Because God knows exactly who we are, because he knows each and every one of us by name, the good shepherd knows exactly how and what we need. It says in the verse, I shall not want. God will supply all your needs, everything that you need. And as it says in Philippians 4, verse 19, and my God will supply everything you need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I preached a couple of weeks ago on Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And talking about how God provided for Abraham just when he needed it, the right time in the right moment, just when he was in the time of desperation. Thank you, Ben. You can probably pop down that slide. No, you can get rid of the slides. That's fine. I preached about that, and I knew that was, that we preached about and saw how Abraham needed God to be his provider. And the phrase there is, I shall not want. And there's something interesting with that phrase, because it doesn't just talk about my needs are supplied, but it also talks about I decide to not desire more than the Lord my shepherd has given. It talks about giving up our desire for more, but being content in all that God supplies for us. It talks about being content in who he is and all that he does for us. Just as the sheep, when the shepherd leads them to green pastures, they graze and they become full and fat and happy. We just become content in who God is. It talks about satisfaction. And Philip Keller says it really well when he talks about the sheep and the shepherd relationship. And he says that actually the sheep will not be at rest. They will not lie down in green pastures unless there are four things that are fulfilled. Firstly, because they are timid, they will not lie down if they feel afraid. Secondly, because they are social animals, just almost like us human beings, if there is any angst or issue between them, they won't lie down in green pastures. Thirdly, if there are fleas or parasites or sickness or anything, they will not lie down in the green pastures. And then lastly, if they are hungry, then they cannot lie down. And I can relate, that's where I can relate to a sheep, because if I'm hungry, my Lord, don't ever try and get me to lie down. I need to eat and be happy and be merry. And I'm sure my wife would tell you that if I'm a hungry man, I'm probably an angry man. May the Lord help me to be less like a sheep. But that's exactly what we see in the sheep and the shepherd relationship. That actually the shepherd will do everything to lead and guide the sheep and provide for them just how they want. You know, a sheep cannot drink from a rushing river because they are scared of the motion, and they also can get caught away and washed down the stream. So a shepherd will purposely dam the river in order to create still waters in which the sheep can drink. The shepherd knows exactly what the sheep needs and will do everything to ensure that his sheep are satisfied. Once the shepherd has done all those four things and satisfied the needs of the sheep, he will lead them to lie down in green pastures. I don't know this morning if you're worried about finance, or if you're kind of running dry spiritually and you're feeling kind of distant from God, or maybe you just need rest and you can't sleep because of your worries and your concern and your anxiety. I wonder today if you can get to know this Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me down green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He wants you to know rest because he is your provider. Secondly, we see that not only is my shepherd my provider, my shepherd guides. If we go to the second slide, my shepherd guides. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's interesting because, you know, I see that this has been so true for myself and Lapeace. We can honestly say that our shepherd has guided us, and he definitely guided us. He guided me to Africa. He guided me to meet Lapeace. He guided me back here for this time and for this season. And we can see the faithfulness of God as he guided and led us each and every way. And the word lead there does not talk about forceful. It actually means to guide gently. The shepherd cannot drive the sheep, but he can lead them in gentle love and authority. He guides and he leads. And as it said, he restores my soul. Sometimes we can be prone like sheep to wander away. As sheep, they can just go off a track and they can lose their way. And sometimes today you might feel like you've maybe gone a bit further away from God. Maybe you're feeling like you're too far from him today and you don't actually have a constant relationship with God, your shepherd. But God wants to tell you otherwise, because he says, he will restore your soul. He will bring you back to himself, and he will lead you in paths of righteousness. Those paths of righteousness are not just any old path. It's like when you're going up in, for a walk in a countryside, and you know those ones that are they're rutted. They're very deep paths, ones that have been well used and well focused. They're the ones that the shepherd wants to focus on, because he doesn't want his sheep to fall astray. He doesn't want them to go to the left or the right. He wants to follow the path of righteousness. so that they can continue to go straight on the path. You know, I have a time when we first moved to Basingstoke, and it was very obviously challenging for us getting used to being back, being here in England. Obviously, there was a bit of culture shock and other such things. But we had this bright idea, apparently, to go to IKEA. If anyone knows IKEA, you go for a cheese grater and you come out with a kitchen sink and a toilet and everything else. So we went to IKEA and we thought, let's go and let's go. And so I faithfully had never been to IKEA in Reading, but we thought, let's kill many birds with one stone. We were hungry, so we were going to eat. We wanted to buy a cheese grater, so let's go to do that. And we thought, let's get Olivia tired. She can walk around IKEA and then she'll sleep beautifully. So I faithfully dialed in IKEA Reading into SatNav, and I followed it faithfully, followed the path that was laid out before me, faithfully following it. And as I was going down the A4, I continued to follow this path until at one point, Olivia was crying. I was extremely hungry as a sheep. I needed to be fed, and I just lost concentration. And we came to this roundabout, and in that moment of lost concentration, I found myself on the slip road of the M4. Oh dear. We were 2 minutes away from IKEA, and now we were 25 minutes away from IKEA. There was no going back. There was nothing I can do, but faithfully I had to submit that I had messed up on my route to IKEA. I had to humble myself and follow the very willing rerouted SatNav all the way for the 25-minute detour back to IKEA. And sure enough, we made it back, but 25 minutes later, 25 minutes hungrier, and 25 minutes of Olivia's crying. All because I lost focus for one moment. And that's exactly what happens in our lives sometimes, is that we can lose focus and we can make compromises. And just like a sheep, we can go off on a veer, but God is there just to bring us back and make sure that we come back on his path of righteousness. Why? Because just like the SatNav, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light unto my path. God uses his word to lead and to guide us. And why does he do it? For his name's sake. Everything that he does, as he leads, as he guides, the good shepherd does it so that he may be glorified and so that he may receive all the praise in all of our lives. So we see that the Lord, my shepherd, provides, my shepherd guides. Thirdly, my shepherd protects. If we can go to the third one, my shepherd protects. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, each and every one of us, we go through hard times in our lives, and we go through challenges where we feel like it's just a dark place. But I love that there is something that the psalmist says. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Two very key words there. The word through means that actually, even though it feels like you're in a dark time, even though it feels like there is only darkness that surrounds you and that you're in it, it's not in, it's actually the word through, which means that you will pass through that moment of time of challenge. It will be a time when even COVID-19, this too shall pass, because we are not in COVID-19, we are passing through it. When we walk with God, when we walk in his righteousness, we are passing through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, David faced lions and bears and as a shepherd, and he also faced Goliath and faced the fear of being killed by Saul, but he was never in it permanently. He was always walking through it, because God always intends that we get to the other side. And I love it because it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The word shadow is key, because even when it feels like everything is on top of us and our world is falling apart, even when we are faced with death, it is only but a shadow. Hallelujah. Why? Because death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? Jesus died and rose again. And so there is no death that can cover us or that can hold us. There's no situation that can push us down, because death is but a shadow in the light of Jesus and his glorious grace. So surely if there is a shadow, there must surely be a light somewhere. There's a quote that says, "Nobody is afraid of a shadow, for a shadow cannot stop a man's pathway, even for a moment. The shadow of a dog cannot bite. The shadow of a sword cannot kill. The shadow of death cannot destroy us. Let us not, therefore, be afraid." You know, I preached a few weeks back about Jehovah Shammah, the Lord that is there. And we see that so clearly in this passage, that the Lord is there in our hard times. "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I want Ben to put up the next picture of the rod and the staff very quickly, and to show that for us today, because these are very significant things that the shepherd had. Ben, if you could do that, thank you. Firstly, the shepherd had a rod, which was a short stick that was used to fight off the evil, to fight off any animals. And then he had a long stick, a walking stick with a hook at the end, which he used to pull his sheep into line and to help them walk in the ways of righteousness. I love that image, because the shepherd not only was fighting for his sheep, just as Jesus fights for us, but also the shepherd was there to lead and to guide them and to actually bring them back into line of righteousness. You know, it might seem like it was an act of discipline, but actually it was an act of love, because often the sheep would stray off and be close to veering off the edge of a cliff. And the shepherd would lean down with his shepherd's crook, and he would go and he would hook the sheep out of the way, out of harm's way, and into a place of safety. You know, that makes me think many times as I walk Olivia down this street. There are times when she just wants to be on the side of the road, but I won't let her, because I don't want her to be in harm's way. And sometimes she might want to argue and disagree, and I have to sometimes be in a place of authority to say, "Look, Olivia, I'm doing this because I love you. I don't want you to be in harm's way. I don't want you to be hurt. I want you to know the love and the protection of a father." That same love and protection that the shepherd showed the sheep. That in a time of discipline, it is actually an ultimate sign of a time of love for his sheep. The shepherd uses his staff not only to protect, but also to lead and to discipline and to love. And the shepherd's crook was a sign of great hope for those sheep that were underneath it. Every night they would go into the fold, and the shepherd would tap each sheep with his crook, counting them one by one. 1, 2, 3, 4. And so the sheep knew that their shepherd was there watching over them. They knew that he had the right tools for the job, and they could feel safe in the knowledge that he was watching over them, and he was protecting them, and he was keeping them in line. And if at one point he miscounted, or at one point he realized there was one missing, he would leave everything and go after the one that had gone astray. And you know what? No matter what happened, no matter what was going on, as soon as they got into the fold, the shepherd would lie down in front of the door and actually act as the door, as an extra protection against all that was coming their way. You know, God is in the business of protecting us and loving us. And sometimes that doesn't always feel very fun. It doesn't always feel very great, because sometimes those moments of protection can feel like moments of hardship. But actually, God does it for the good of those who love him. He says in John 10, 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus today is saying that he knows you and he protects you and he wants to love you in every single way and bring you the ultimate comfort that comes from knowing that he has the right tools for the job, that he's disciplining you in love and that he loves and cares for you as his child. And we should take great comfort in the knowledge of that. And then very quickly, we see obviously my shepherd provides, my shepherd guides, my shepherd protects. And lastly, my shepherd revives. If we go to the text, it says in verse 5, you prepare a table for me before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I love the Message version, which says, you serve a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessings. The God who knows all that you need doesn't just give you what you need, but he tends to give you even more. He serves you a six-course dinner in the host of your enemies when everything around you seems to be going chaotic. The Lord is there presenting you with a banquet and protecting you in the midst of all that's going on. Just as the shepherd would lead his sheep to a table in the mountain where the sheep could eat peacefully, God is doing that with us. He's allowing us to be at rest and at peace in his abundant blessing, because he revives your drooping head and your cup brims over with blessings. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Is your head heavy? Is your heart heavy? Are you hungry and are you thirsty? Then come to the shepherd. Come to the table he's prepared for you. Come to the place where he lifts up your head and he pours your cup to overflowing. Because he's a God who is interested and knows everything that you need. And one day when we get to glory, when we're with Jesus in paradise, if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord today, you will look back when you're in heaven and you will say, only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of my Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. No matter what you're going through, you might be going through hard times right now. But let me rest assured, you do not need to fear the valley. You do not need to worry about all the snares and the trials that come your way. You can rest assured that your shepherd, my shepherd, he is a good shepherd and he will bless you in every way. Only goodness and mercy shall follow you. Romans 5 verse 8 says, God shows his love to us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I wonder this morning if you know this Jesus, because I want to just share one quick story, and I know I've gone a bit long, but there's a story about a big banquet that was happening, in the banquet there was a famous actor who was there at the time, and the audience asked him if he would recite and do a show for them at the time. And so he asked the audience, are there any requests that I can give you today? And there was a moment of pause, and an old clergyman kind of put up his hand and said, could you recite the 23rd Psalm, please? The actor looked puzzled and kind of confused, but he said, okay, only though if you will recite it after me. So the clergyman said, well, I'm not very eloquent, but I'll do it just because I want to hear you do it first. So the actor does it and he recites the psalm beautifully. He's so eloquent and he does it with such beautiful delivery, and he just captivates his audience. And they are almost spellbound by the actor and the way that he delivers Psalm 23. And as he finishes, the room erupts with applause at what a great job he did. And as that applause comes to an end, this old man comes up and he starts to read Psalm 23 himself. Not at all very well. He stumbles through it, and not at all a performance, but it was straight from his heart. As soon as the old man stopped, you could hear silence in the room. No applause. Nothing. And the actor got up. At that point, you could see heads bowed and people in tears. And the actor reached his hand onto the old man and he said, "I've reached your eyes and your heart and your ears, my friends, but he reached your hearts. The difference is just this. I know the 23rd Psalm, but he knows the shepherd." My question to you today is, do you know the shepherd? You can know the psalm, but it won't make a difference. But if you know the shepherd, it will change your life for eternity. Let me pray for you right now. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the good shepherd. Lord, we thank you that you care for every detail of our lives. And Lord, I pray, Father, right now, if there is anyone who is listening today and they don't know this good shepherd, Father, I pray that they would run into your arms today, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you would call them into yourself, O God. Lord, that as sheep, they would submit themselves to you and they would say, "Here I am, Lord. Refresh me, renew me, be the lifter of my head. I need my cup to overflow. And I want to dwell in your house forevermore." Lord, I pray, Father, that you would help us. Help us to be your sheep that know the shepherd oh so well. We give you praise, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.